Well, I really want to welcome back now old friend Amanda Orlando, who hasn't been with us in a while, but she was pretty much a regular on Josh Arnold's programs here on MSO News Sports. And Amanda, welcome back to MSO.
Thanks so much, Rick. I'm so happy to be here.
So much has transpired since last we talked, and I just want to kind of get caught up. And I think the first thing I would like to do, I wanted to ask you about the most important thing is the Rotary Breakfast, whether it's going to continue this year or be brought back this year. But I understand you had to kind of withdraw from Rotary for kind of important reasons.
Yes, I did, and I'm sad to say, but and I'm not sure whether the Rotary Pancake Breakfast will happen this year. I certainly hope it will. I know that my friends who are still in the Rotary Club tell me that they are not meeting in person, obviously, because of the restrictions that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing Zoom meetings, so that has put a damper on also their fundraising efforts because all of those events are in-person events throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They did not have the pancake breakfast last year, obviously, due to COVID regulations. So hopefully they'll have it, but it is an event that takes months and months to plan, and it's already May.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there's any question as to whether they're going to be able to pull it off, I'm sure they'll just wait another year. But as you referenced, I am no longer in the Rotary Club. I just time-wise, just could not commit to it. And I'm a person who likes to give 150% no matter what I'm doing, so I don't want to be in a group and not be able to contribute the way I want to. And in the fall of 2019, I began a four-year program at the Massachusetts School of Law to get my law degree, and I just knew I wouldn't be able to give the time mm-hmm. to Rotary that it deserved. So I did take a leave from Rotary. But, I anyone listening who is a business owner in Cape Ann communities, please join your local Rotary group. It's such a valuable resource. There's so much great fundraising that happens for local organizations, and a lot of groups in Gloucester particularly could not survive without the funds they get from Rotary every year.
Well,
I'm proud to be in it, and I hope someday to be a member again.
Yeah, it's an amazing organization, and I've learned a lot about that through Josh Arnold, of course. You come
yes.
from a family of lawyers, if anybody doesn't know that in this area, and I can't imagine they don't, but, I know your dad very well, your brother is an attorney, has been on the city council, and you guys have all served, in one way or another, you've helped serve in the community. And I wonder, Amanda, now you are in law school now, and so how far have you come so far in law school?
So I am just about to finish up my second year of a four-year part-time program. I actually have final exams next week. So I'm halfway there, which has been like the blink of an eye, amazingly, as challenging as it has been.
Mm-hmm.
It goes by really, really fast. So, I'm halfway there. It was something that, as you say, I come from a family of lawyers, but as a younger woman, it was never something that I really considered doing. My first career was as a high school English teacher. I have a Master of Arts in Teaching English. So I did that for 5 years at Manchester Essex Regional High School, and I taught British and American Literature, and I loved it. When I had children, I took a step back from teaching, and I just started working here at our family's law firm part-time, and it just grew and grew and grew, and now I'm the office manager, and I run all of the assisting of the attorneys and all the managerial responsibilities of the office and the files and stuff. And I just thought, it's time to take the next step. And I'm really excited. I am looking forward to being an attorney.
Well, I'm guessing that background that you have now there at Orlando & Associates is probably giving you some kind of a leg up in terms of law school, because you're exposed to so much of the legal ongoings that it's got to help you somehow.
It does, absolutely. I mean, even with just terminology,
mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of my classmates at Massachusetts School of Law, they come from industries that have nothing to do with the law, so they're encountering a lot of this stuff for the first time.
Sure.
And it's hard enough. I mean, remember, yes, I assist lawyers, but I'm not one. So I'm learning things from a different angle.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm sure your brother probably knows better. You guys...
Very helpful.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you're not a lawyer, but I bet you carry your weight in that office and they listen to you, so I'm not...
Well, I certainly think I do, but yes. I'll let them be the judge.
I'm sure you do. There's no doubt in my mind. We all yield to the mom, too, especially the mom who has experience and intelligence. I want to turn now to your political involvement, because that's okay. where Josh first introduced you to our audience, and very involved with the Massachusetts Republican Party. You are the state committee woman for the First Essex and Middlesex District. What does that mean, being a Massachusetts GOP state committee woman? What does that mean?
Okay. What that means is that I am a member, I am an official voting member of the Massachusetts Republican Party representing Bruce Tarr's Senate District, which mm-hmm. is the first Essex Middlesex.
Okay.
Folks listening will be familiar with the concept of the Republican National Committee has representatives from each state in the country, and there's two, the man and a woman from each state, so mm-hmm. there is 100 members of the Republican National Committee, plus they have a chairperson. And they are the ones who decide on the Republican Party national platform. They support candidates running nationally and, you know, in congressional races. They raise money for them. That's what the Republican National Committee does. Well, the Massachusetts Republican Party does it at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
So I am one representative of this Senate district. There are 40 Senate districts in Massachusetts, and each district has of one man and one woman who mm-hmm. represent the districts to the Massachusetts Republican Party. So there are 80 of us, and there is a chairman. And my counterpart, the male counterpart for this district, is Richard Baker. He is from West Newbury, which is part of the district.
Oh, I've met Richard. Yep, okay.
Yep. And so we, you know, our job is to support the growth of the Republican Party in Massachusetts, particularly in our district. So we advise the Republican town and city committees in the 17 cities and towns in this district. We help them grow, get new members when they have people who are running, if they're a registered Republican and they're running for city council or selectman or school committee, we support their efforts. We help them, you know, with how to run their campaigns and how to fundraise. You know, that's our job.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's a big district. It runs from Rockport all the way to Wilmington and North Reading. It's big.
Okay.
It covers a lot of area. But it's very enjoyable. I meet a ton of great people, a lot of like-minded folks. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you are a Republican and you want to get involved, you know, please contact me. Rick will have my information. We can put it out there.
Yep.
We can help guide you to the right place.
We're going to link to your site, of course, and your information on this post. And I think down the road, as we continue these podcasts, at some point we will get into some issues. I talk with Senator Tarr once a week, and Senator Tarr generally avoids partisan discourse, but rather he gives that information from the State House. So it's
yes.
great to get that from Bruce, and we all know what a hard worker Bruce is and what a great guy he is.
Yes.
And then I also talk with the Massachusetts Young Democrats policy director, occasionally, maybe every other month or so. So I do want to talk and get some balance from both sides. So it'll be great carrying on this conversation. But I also want to ask you about your being a member of Governor Baker's Public Education Nominating Council. So tell me about that.
So that's a group that we vet and approve appointees to administrative positions within our state colleges.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that process works is the governor nominates people to those positions. So, you know, if there's a dean opening or a professor opening at a state university or department head or something along those lines, you know, people apply for those jobs and then they go to the governor's office mm-hmm. and then our committee vets those people. So we meet, I would say, 3 to 4 times a year, and we deal with a group of resumes for mm-hmm. different positions. And often there's three or four applicants for a particular position. And so our committee's job is to read through the submissions from the applicants, figure out who we believe would be best, vote to give an official recommendation to the governor, who then ultimately makes the decision. So we're an advisory committee. We're not making the decisions, but we're advising him, which is smart because, you know, Governor Baker's background is in health and human services. So he's not, he doesn't have educational background. The folks on the committee largely come from the education sector. So they're, you know, we're looking at resumes from that lens, which gives him a perspective that he doesn't already have, which is helpful.
From the outside looking in, it often seems from a lay perspective that, geez, that's an easy job. You read the resume and you put a check mark or an X mark beside the person's name. However, I think from experience, it's a little more difficult than that because I'm sure sometimes you come across candidates that are so consistently good across the board, it's hard to actually put that check mark and have a consensus because, you know, and you may have a reason not to. But if you do the due diligence, it's not that easy a job.
No, and I also think, you know, we all have to remember that politics plays into it. I mean, some of these people are there because they had a connection with a politician. Mm-hmm. And so there's push-pull on applicants sometimes between members of the committee. So, yeah, I mean, generally speaking, we come to a pretty good consensus because we're all there for the same reason. We want to make sure that the public education across the state has really good people, which, you know, it behooves all of us who have children. I have three children. My oldest son is a freshman in high school. So, you know, I if he goes to a state school, I want to make sure that there are people who are qualified there to teach him.
Of course.
And so, you know, generally speaking, we come to consensus. But, yeah, you do have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just skim through and say, you know, yay or nay and hope for the best. You have to pay some attention to what you're doing.
I think the final thing I want to mention for this particular segment this time out is, as you well know, and I think I've told people from time to time, I try not to give my editorial opinion here when we interview people, because the idea of MSO is to get your word out there in your own words and your agenda and so on is what we try to do. But being neither Republican nor Democrat, I do take sides, you know, for different things. And one of the things that has been a little disturbing to me has been some of the discourse involving Governor Baker about the so-called slow rollout of the vaccine or the mishandling of it. And I am astounded at how well things have gone. And I know you and I were talking before we went on the air here, you know, about the opening up of spring and things are getting brighter and so on. But I think, and I don't know, I guess I'm asking your opinion. I think Governor Baker, and his advisors have done an amazing job, one, in handling this thing overall, which I know a lot of business, especially small restaurant business owners, have had a bit of a problem with. But my family has been safe. We've been safe. We got through it. And I just think this vaccine rollout has been remarkably well done. When I went for mine, oh, I don't know, a month and a half ago, I was amazed at how efficient things were. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there and maybe get your opinion on how this thing has been handled, you know, from your point of view with respect to the governor.
Well, I think that the vaccine rollout was difficult for the governor's team in the beginning, which you've got to remember that it's May. There's been a drastic difference in number of vaccines available since like early February, January when it first started. And it was difficult for them because they didn't know how many they were getting. And they had to prioritize people, and sometimes those decisions are challenging. So I think some of the criticism you heard about the vaccine rollout started from the beginning from people who were just very, very anxious to get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
and they weren't prepared for the onslaught of people who wanted the vaccine and they didn't have enough vaccines. Of course, the numbers, you know, the production on it ramped up big time in February, and by March and April it was, you know, it was everywhere and people were able to get these vaccines. I've personally gotten my first shot. I have my second one on Sunday.
Excellent. Yep, good.
You know, at CVS and, you know, CVS and Ipswich, it's been a very easy, and I wasn't in a high-risk category, so I was like one of the last people to become eligible to do it. And, yes, I thought that was extremely well organized. So I think, yeah, the criticism happened from the initial management of it, And probably to some extent, just to be fair, I think there was a lack of appreciation for just how desperate a lot of people would be to get the vaccine because people are motivated to get back to normal.
Of course. I'm sorry.
We're like, yeah, I mean, I think some of the criticism you hear is just frustration over the state of life and how challenging it's been over the last year.
And I know
it always gets directed at the guy at the top.
Now, of course. And Senator Tarr has been adamant since the beginning about the lack of vaccine coming initially. You know, we were underfunded, if you will, in terms of getting the vaccine from the federal government. But that has been ramped up, and I think you can walk into CVS downtown now and get a vaccine, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's much more – it's at Walgreens, CVS, any pharmacy, really. Plus, they have vaccine sites. You know, and of course they were bringing it to folks at nursing homes and stuff. So yeah, I mean, definitely. Anytime you're dealing with 6 million people, you're going to have an understanding of, I mean, we had this problem with, when we first went on to the state healthcare system, right? The mass health connector was always crashing. It's the same principle. Mm-hmm. That's why you get a lot of criticism of it. But you know, in general, I think governors were, they were learning on the job. It was an unprecedented time. The federal government was learning on the job. I think some governors did it better than others. I think Charlie, there were areas where I agreed with him and there were areas where I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that he could have done a better job or that his team could have done a better job. And then there were other areas where I thought, well, that was good. So, you know, that's always how it's going to be. You're talking about a big crisis.
Oh boy.
It affects a lot of segments of the population.
Well, we're coming out of the woods, thank goodness, and it's really a great place to be. Amanda, in this first get together here of what I hope will be some plenty more as we go through 2021, is there anything else that you would like to mention?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, we didn't talk about national politics today, and that's totally fine. We certainly can in the future if you'd like. But those who are plugged into national politics and are conservative minded, you know, please recognize that activism requires you to get involved, and our democracy is better when two sides are both active and speaking to each other and there's an active exchange of ideas, and we're just better for that. So if you are a person who's right now feeling a little deflated because your guy didn't win in November, or you know, things aren't exactly how you want it, you know, don't sit home, get involved, and contact me. I'm happy to help guide you through that, because democracy works better when we're all active participants.
All right, that is Amanda Orlando of Orlando Associates. I'm Rick Moore with MSO News Sports.